This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Entik. I have back in the studio with me for his monthly show on local government, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, Rajiv Fisherkaran. Fresh off his electoral victory last week on Wednesday. Rajiv, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Yes, so three public holidays and one seismic but peaceful transfer of power later. I mean, you also managed to increase your majority.
Yes.
Did you see all this coming?
Well, I did not expect the win to be this big. We expected a win, but for it to be this big is definitely touching. And we definitely have to work extra hard to repay the public trust in us. Just not just myself, but all of us in Pakatan Harapan.
Yeah. If you can indulge us a little bit about where were you on election night?
So after the polling closed at 5 o'clock, I had to still sort out a few Ketua Tempat Mengundi, KTMs, that refused to sign the Borang 14. I think a lot of listeners may be aware of this problem that was happening, because that was a form that confirms the results. But once we got that sorted out, we all headed to the SS2 basketball court, where we were there to see the results come in. So all the results for the four DAP seats in PJ, the results were all coming in. The Borang 14s were all coming in to the SS2 basketball court. And we had a big screen there where everyone, all the volunteers and residents who were interested were there to watch the tally as it came in. And that's where we viewed the results.
Yeah. And you have improve upon your performance, Slang of Pakatan, in G13. Now, the opposition is almost completely wiped out. Now it consists of four UMNO members and one past state assemblyman. So 51 out of 56 seats,
that's right,
now belongs in Pakatan. What does this mean going forward for the coalition?
I think it's a testament to how the Selangor government has been running the administration for the last 10 years. We started off in 2008 with 36 elected representatives. In 2013, we grew to 44. So that was a big jump. And in this election, we went up to 51 out of 56. So it's definitely an honor to be part of this government, to be part of this movement that has been endorsed by not just urban residents, but even rural Selangor. I think there's still a lot more that needs to be done, and I look forward to 5 more years of making life better for people of Selangor.
Yeah, 5 more years will take you up to 15 years since you joined public life, because you joined in 2008.
Yes, I did.
And since then, you've become a husband, you've been a new dad.
That's right.
And the country, I guess Selangor in particular, has changed along with your personal life.
It has.
How will having Pakatan in the federal government now maybe change, modify, or affect the way Pakatan Selangor conduct itself in the state government?
I think the state government will be more or less the same, because this will be our third term in a row. We already have the direction that we have been on. I think that's still going to be the course that we are on. So where things will change in Selangor will be the cooperation between the federal and Selangor government, where we used to have resistance in a number of areas with regards to the federal government. This resistance should be eliminated now. And so moving forward, I think that will be the one aspect that life would become easier for the Selangor government.
Our phone lines are open if you'd like to join the conversation or ask a question of a member of the Selangor State Legislative Assembly. Call us at 03-7710-9000. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We mentioned how 51 of the 56 seats now belong to Pakatan. So the opposition essentially is going to come from the coalition itself, checks and balances. And we see this issue of allocation or funding for the opposition in Selangor and in Johor, the state of Johor, coming up. What will be the approach in Selangor?
I think Selangor has already led the way in this. Selangor government for a number of years has already given allocations to the opposition members, and that offer still is on the table. Johor has backtracked. I think that was a lone isolated case, the statement by the Johor Menteri Besar, which I understand he has already backtracked on that. But moving forward, I hope that the five opposition members, four from BN and one from PAS, would take on the role of opposition seriously, because every government needs check and balance. But even regardless of the role that they play, I think Pakatan Harapan has been demonstrating in the last 10 years, and especially in the last 5 years, that we have a very strong internal check and balance as well. If you look at the Selangor Assembly, we are the assembly with the largest amount of select committees. We've talked about select committees on the air before, but just a quick recap, select committees are committees of about seven state assemblymen that investigate or look into particular issues. So we have select committees on land, on JLCs, on water, on local council, on poverty and so on. And having these select committees enables the state assemblymen who sit on it to investigate what the government is doing with regards to this scope, this topic, and also to make recommendations. And sometimes the recommendations aren't very pleasant. Sometimes they are commendations, and sometimes we have to point out things that are not being handled well. Mm-hmm. So we have been doing that. Now, if you look at all the reports produced by the select committee, they're all published on the Day One's website. That's transparency. And all of these reports are largely done by us, because although BN has one or two members on every committee, they are not active. Their attendance record is out there for the world to see, and they don't play a huge part in producing these reports. And these reports are by and large produced by us, the backbenchers. And we have not held back in being critical to our own government, because ultimately that's the aim. We want to see improvement. We want to see weaknesses being addressed. And I don't see that changing moving forward the next 5 years. If you've been doing this for the last 10 years, it's still going to happen for the next 5 years.
I'm speaking today to Rajiv Rishikaran, the Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, about his monthly series on local government. After this short break, we'll come back and talk about local council elections and whether or not we now can commit to a timeline to get the third vote back. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Antik. With me in the studio today, Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman. So we're talking today about local government, and also what Rajiv's as well as Selangor priorities would be going into this new term with this huge new mandate. And we have a text message through WhatsApp coming in asking whether with such a majority could Pakatan become complacent, and whether there are mechanisms in place to prevent this. And Rajiv, I think you addressed this earlier as well, and how select committees can play a role in preventing this. And the question is, would you advocate a system of elected local councillors where they could be more accountable to the public, but on the flip side, they also risk turning them into little Napoleons?
My position has always been clear. I've stated this in many occasions, in many town hall meetings, and even in the state assembly, that I personally support local council elections. I think it is only right that the mayor, deputy mayor, and all the councillors go through the process of election. And I hope that we can get there one day, and hopefully soon.
We have a caller on the line, Gaffo, who wants to ask about lease extension in the area.
Hello, Gaffo. Can you hear us? Yes. Go ahead, ask your question.
Gaffo? Hello?
Hello, yes,
we can hear you.
Yeah, okay. I just want to find out about the lease extension in the PJ area, you know, Section 1, Section in that area. PJ Old Town and the other areas, you know. What is the status of the extension? Whether, you know, we can get the discount rate or something on this extension, or is it going to be, you know, the last time I checked, they gave some 30% or 40% discount or something, and we still have not renewed this yet. I guess waiting for this election to be over. By the way, I voted for PH.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right, thank you for that question. The policy on lease has been there for the last 10 years. In Selangor, you have two options. One is you renew the lease by paying the full premium. And if you do so, you get a 30% discount automatically. So everyone who pays the full premium gets a 30% discount automatically. And Selangor is the only state in Malaysia to introduce a 1,000 ringgit policy where you only pay a premium of 1,000 ringgit to extend your lease to 99 years. But with the caveat that when you transfer the property in the future, if you sell your property in the future, that's when you pay the full premium. So if you're passing it on to your children, that's fine. But if you're selling it to anyone else, you pay your full premium them. So the issue of premium discounts should not be a problem in Selangor anymore, because everyone has the option to take the 1,000 ringgit scheme and you just pay 1,000 ringgit. And that's like the cheapest you can find in Malaysia, probably even the world, for a 99-year lease, just 1,000 ringgit premium.
There's no risk of the Selangor government reclaiming state land for conservation or state buildings.
There is land acquisition that will happen from time to time. This is not unique to Selangor. This happens all over Malaysia and happens all over the world. I don't think we do it lightheartedly. Every single acquisition is done only when truly necessary.
Okay. We have another text via WhatsApp asking about how aware we can post ground issues up so that they can be looked into. And he gives the example of Dewan Pustaka. So this, I think, is more in the federal purview.
I think it doesn't matter if it's state, federal, local council. If you know the problem that you're facing and you want that department to address it, every department in Malaysia by now would have a complaints handling mechanism. Virtually every department has a website, and every website is capable of receiving complaints. So that could be your first stop in putting your complaints out there. If it's a federal issue and that department does not address it, it'd be good for you to visit your MP and bring this matter up to your MP. But it would be helpful if you already, you know, if you go through the department first, and if it can't be resolved or if the resolution is not satisfactory, then you go to your MP. If it's a state matter, you can see your state assemblyman. If it's your local council matter, look for your local council. So I think now that we are in 2018, pretty much all of the departments have that a website, and a website that's capable of receiving complaints. And that would be a very good place to start.
There is a follow-up question to our caller, Gafo, about this. This comes from Stephen Koh. Can Pakatan in Selangor help to change leasehold property to freehold?
Well, I think that's something that the leadership needs to discuss. For now, Pakatan Harapan has made no promises or indication that we are going to change all leasehold properties to freehold. So that's something to be discussed, and I think that's something that needs some deliberation. And maybe once the initial reforms that were promised have kick-started, and then we can start looking into these other matters.
So our phone lines are open. Keep those questions coming in. You can call us at 03-7710-9000, tweet us at BFM Radio, or WhatsApp us via the number 018-789-8899. Coming back to local council elections, what are the hurdles before we can get there? I mean, you agree with it. Your colleague from PJ, Parliamentarian Myra Chin, also agrees with it or wants to push for it. How soon can it be done, or what stands in the way before we get there?
I think many people, it's not just me and Maria Chin, but many people agree that we should have local council elections. I think for now, it is a matter of getting all the four Pakatan Harapan component parties to come on board. I don't discount that, you know, that this is never going to happen. This consensus has not yet been achieved, but this is something that DAP feels very strongly about, that we should have local council elections. A lot of NGOs also feel very strongly about. And I think over the next couple of years, we can persuade those who are a bit skeptical about it to come on board. I think we should be fair to those who are skeptical about it and try to address what they are truly concerned about rather than just poking fun at them or insulting them. But let's address what the concerns are on the other side, the people who are not yet quite ready to embrace local council elections.
Why do you think it's better for mayors or councillors to be politicians rather than civil servants or technocrats?
It's not so much of must be politicians or civil servants or technocrats. They're not mutually exclusive. You can be both at the same time. But the reason why I personally feel that they should be elected is because of the accountability. Local councils are governments. Just like how state governments and federal governments are governments, local governments are governments. They collect taxes, they decide how to spend money, and they also make policy. So when you have a board that is making policy, like deciding whether restaurants can open 24 hours or not, like deciding whether parking is 60 cents or 80 cents or 1 ringgit or parking is free, deciding whether we collect rubbish every day or 3 times a week or once a week. When these guys make policy, I think it's only right that they be accountable to the people because they're making policy that affects the people. And that's essentially why.
Would that then make the role of the ADUN somewhat redundant or overlapping? Because right now we go to our ADUN for those
things. I think people go to the ADUNs because they recognize the ADUNs more than they recognize their councillors. Only for that reason. Not because the ADUN has a legal jurisdiction in this matter, but only because they recognize they've the ADUN more because the ADUN is probably much more visible than the councillor in most cases.
And right now at the moment, are mayors also elected every 5 years?
Right now, they are not.
Not elected, I mean appointed.
Right now, they are not necessarily appointed every 5 years. Their appointments vary. I think some are appointed for 2 years at a time and some for 1 or 3 years at a time. The Local Government Act says that one can be appointed for a term not exceeding 3 years. So the most you can be appointed for is 3 years under the present Local Government Act. But you can renew that person's appointment indefinitely, but maximum 3 years at a time.
Yeah.
So not five. 5 years is definitely not possible.
Yeah. You mentioned the Pakatan consensus and that local council elections were not promised in the manifesto. But they did promise to amend or look into the Local Government Act. But these amendments were not spelled out. Would you have any insight into those deliberations?
I think there were two things that Harapan mentioned in the manifesto when it came to local government. One is to strengthen local democracy, to increase the accountability of local governments to the people. And the second is to improve performance and to benchmark our local councils to international standards. So we see The Economist has an index of livable cities. Mercer has an index of livable cities. And I think a few other international indexes exist. I absolutely agree. On one angle, you need to start benchmarking our councils to these councils that are there. So if you look through like the Economist Livable City Index, you'll see it's normally the Australian cities that take the top place. Australian, Canadian and European cities will typically occupy the top 10 slots.
And where, all these are elected mayors.
Yeah, the whole world has elected mayors and elected councillors. I think Malaysia's an abnormality in this case. With regards to where does PJ stand in comparison with, say, Melbourne and Sydney and Toronto, where does Alostar stand? Where does Kuching stand? This is something that we all don't know. It's our guesswork because Malaysian cities don't feature on these indexes. So it's time to get... I absolutely agree. It's time to get us benchmarked to our international counterparts so we can track our performance and ensure that we are improving. So that's one. That's one thing that Pakatan has put in the manifesto. I think that's great. The second one, which is a bit more subjective, is to strengthen the accountability to the local community. So I hope that this is a start that will lead to local council elections. So there are many ways we can go about improving the accountability. For example, not just Selangor has implemented live telecasts of full board meetings. This is something the rest of the country could follow suit. We could then do a live telecast of committee meetings, not just the full board meetings. These are some examples of what could happen. Minutes of meetings or agenda of meetings should be posted on the website as soon as possible. And if possible, agendas of meetings could be posted on the websites before the meeting, giving chance for citizens, NGOs to contact their counselor and give comments on the agenda before the meeting happens. So these are some examples I have of how we can improve the accountability of councils before we reach the point of local council elections. But these details, you're right, they're not spelled out in the document. I think once we get a minister for local government, which hopefully will be in the next few days, he has his work cut out for him. There's a lot of stakeholders that need to be consulted before deciding what are the priorities in terms of improving accountability of local councils. But the commitment is there to improve accountability of local councils, and there definitely has to be an improvement year on year as we move forward. And you know what? You asked earlier what happens if PH gets complacent. I don't think we can afford to be complacent. I think we all realize that this is the first time we've changed government. All eyes on federal government. I mean, my phone, all my WhatsApp groups are excited. They all are ablaze with messages. They all are checking on every single progress move that is being made by the new government, and I think people are going to hold us to account. If we disappoint them, they're going to kick us out in 5 years' time. So definitely we have to deliver on these promises, and there has to be improvements with regards to the accountability and transparency of local councils moving forward.
We have a caller from Steve who has a question about the relationship between the Selangor government and the federal government. Steve.
Hi,
Steve. Yeah,
go ahead, ask your question.
Yes, how and congratulations to Pakatan Harapan.
Thank you.
In fact, as you said, yeah, the whole rakyat is really, they are extremely excited to the change that has happened. I hope it brings a new life to Malaysians. Okay, my question is, can the Selangor State Government or anyone in the Pakatan Harapan suggest to the federal government to have a one education system for all Malaysians?
Well, big question.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
The argument here is for too long, for 61 years, we have been divided, you know, with this Chinese, Tamil schools, you know, and SK schools. So what I'm thinking is, I think it's high time. I mean, we have one education system for everyone, making it compulsory for Mandarin and the Tamil language.
Okay, thank you, Steve. I think also that maybe devolving some of the powers of education to the state could be one way forward for the state to have a bigger say in terms of what are the peculiar needs of a particular state's demographic.
That's right. At the moment, state governments have no say whatsoever with the education system. It is totally in the hands of the federal government. Federal government definitely has to devolve some powers to the states moving forward. And I think that's a very interesting question on the education system. Definitely that's a topic that has been greatly debated for decades. I don't think that debate will come to an end anytime soon. But what could be a very good first step is that the standards in our national schools have to improve. Because it is not just national Chinese and Tamil schools. There's a lot of times people think that it's only down to these three schools that and we want to abolish Chinese and Tamil schools, but also in competition is your Sekolah Agamas, and also in the running is private schools and international schools. And if you want to abolish and make everyone go to one type of school, then it is not just Chinese and Tamil schools that have to be abolished. It's private schools, international schools, and the Sekolah Agama. And I think Malaysia is not quite ready for that yet. But let's take positive steps forward. Let's try to first improve the national schools. Let's get that national schools, the school of choice by everyone. And when we start building that, then we can, you know, continue this debate. And I think as national schools continue to improve, people's opinion on the education system will change.
I have a question here that came in via WhatsApp from Zikri. He says that there's this fear among Malays, especially, that if we have local elections, positions in the local government will be dominated by non-Malays. How true or is this just a misconception?
It is a fear that has been planted by Barisan Nasional for the last 50 years as an excuse to not bring back local councils. But if you look at the demographics of local councils throughout Malaysia, only 6 out of the 149 local councils are Chinese majority councils. So at the most, if this fear is to be real and if we assume that all Malaysians are concerned that about the race of the mayor and all Malaysians vote according to race, it is quite hard to expect the local councils to be all dominated by Chinese throughout the country. So I don't think that that fear is quite right because only 6 councils in the country. And even here in PJ, PJ is a very mixed city and it's actually not a Chinese majority city that some people assume it is.
Okay. Another question from WhatsApp. What are the sources of income for state and local councils other than business license and selling or conversion of lands, and how do we sustain, how do we ensure sustainability without selling land for more development?
Selangor government has not been selling land for more development. The sources of income for states is basically your land taxes, your cukai tanah that you have to pay, your premiums. So these are your leasehold extension premiums and your land conversion premiums. These are the bulk of the income for state governments throughout Malaysia. You have Cukai Pintu or your assessment tax as the main source of income for local councils. Business licenses is significantly smaller than your Cukai Pintu, as well as you have enforcement fines income for both state and local councils. So this is basically the rough sources of income for both. Moving forward, there has to be an increase, if you talk about devolving some power from federal to state, there also needs to be an increase of income to state and local councils. One way forward is that federal government returns a certain portion of income tax collected in the state or a certain portion of corporate tax collected within a state back to that respective state government to be able to run the education system or to be able to run police. Police is largely a local matter around the world, that it's fully federal in Malaysia. Public transport. SPAT runs public transport throughout the country, but in the rest of the world, local councils take ownership of public transport. It is not managed federally. So these are some of the areas that we could, spread the income towards states as well as spread the responsibility towards states.
Mm. Is there consensus on Pakatan side to move that powers from SPAT to local government?
I think that is to be decided soon. But I think the general intention is there that we need to empower states more. But as to the details of it, I think that's something that has to be hashed out.
Right. Another question coming in via WhatsApp that says, Pakatan Harapan mentioned that it will abolish tolls. However, it has now approved 3 highways with inflated prices. I think he's referring to Dash and the likes. Mm-hmm. And will PH government cancel tolls on these highways? Would you also make the concession agreement public?
I think these are all the steps that the new Minister of Transport has to get sorted out. Moving forward, there should not be any more new toll highways. Moving forward, the concession agreements all have to be relooked and in the spirit of transparency be made public. And moving forward, lopsided agreements need to be ended, because in the end of the day, a few individuals who own respective highways should not be making a killing at the expense of us ordinary folks driving on these highways every day.
I have a question via a caller, Low, who wants to ask about the PKNS joint housing venture. Hello, can you hear us?
Hello, yeah.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
My name is Low here. You see, we have a housing scheme which is a joint venture between PKNS and a private developer. Phase 1, phase 2 has been delivered, but phase 3 is late by 3 years.
Lo, are you the developer?
No, sorry. Are you
the buyer? Sorry, come again?
I'm a resident of that housing scheme.
Okay.
Okay? So, the phase 3 has been delayed for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Secondly, part of the housing scheme has been surrendered back to PKNS by the developer.
Okay. Hello?
Okay.
Thank you.
They're still connected to it. Then PKNS is supposed to build the clubhouse for us. Nothing has been done. We have seen the last MP, or even now the current MP, Khalid Samad. We have seen Yaakob Sari. Nothing has been done. They just fence up the place. And we try to talk to PKNS. They just don't listen to us.
Okay, thank you, Lo.
Okay.
Lo, I'm so sorry I can't address this question here because I... First of all, do not know which housing scheme you're referring to. And even if you told me the name of that housing scheme, I'm not in PKNS and I'm not familiar with the details offhand. So, but if you want to speak to me, you can always contact me. You can just drop me an email, or you can write to BFM and BFM will forward it on to me and then we can look into that.
Okay, Lo, we'll try to get in touch with you after this. And we have a bunch of WhatsApp texts in the final remaining minutes that we have that's coming in via WhatsApp. What is your view on foreigners owning shops and businesses? Are they actually licensed by local council?
I think there's not much restriction on foreigners owning shops and businesses. Some businesses foreigners are permitted to run, and for some they're not. The issue most people face is when the foreign workers start to take over and run businesses without permission. This is largely an immigration problem. Most of the businesses that do not have valid business registration. That's your first step. You need valid business registration, then you can get a license from the local council. And most of these businesses who do not have these largely stem from an immigration problem. So I think that's not something, what do you call it? How do I say? That's something that we need to deal with. The fact that we have millions of illegal or undocumented foreigners in this country. It is not just those running the shops. The one which we take very seriously is those government premises that are supposedly rented out to people in need, like the Medan Solaris. They are rented out for token sum to people in need, and then they are further subletted out to a foreigner. So this happens from time to time. And when this happens, the middleman, this Malaysian who rents the Medan Solaris for, say, 50 ringgit a month, and he then rents it out to someone else for 750 ringgit a month, the foreigner, these kind of things should not be happening and should be terminated. So a number of tip-offs that have come through my office, we've forwarded on to the local councils, we've resulted in these people being terminated. So that's for government property. I think that's very clear cut. Now, with regards to private property, ownership is not an issue because the Malaysian law allows for ownership of private properties. But running of the businesses, then it comes down to what businesses foreigners can run. And there are a number of businesses which is legal for foreigners to run. There are some which is restricted and foreigners can't run. Ownership of businesses is one thing, but it's the employees running the show in the shop are likely to be undocumented, and that's the root problem.
Mm-hmm. So clearly, based on the numbers of calls and texts that we're getting on WhatsApp, the excitement is palpable. People have a lot of questions about
the
new government now that they've returned you to power with a larger mandate. I think we kind of set out some of the priorities that you wanted to get into this term, but we don't have time today to get through all of them. Maybe when you come back next month, we can go through them line by line.
Okay.
Can I get you to just wrap up then by a final message on what you hope to achieve overall?
I think in the end of the day, the eyes are all on the federal government. It was a momentous change that the people decided last week. And I think at the root of all of this is a couple of items. The first is institutional reform. Everyone is looking to see how we make changes, especially with regards to MACC. And that is the starting point to then go after everyone else, every other corruption scandal. So dealing with the institutional reform is key, and everyone's eyes is on this. Everyone is very interested in who's going to be the new AG, who's going to be the new MACC chief, what's going to happen in Ministry of Finance. And it's rightfully so, because the institution is key. The second thing, which is one of the biggest motivations for everyone casting their vote against Barisan in last week, is cost of living. So cost of living has been an issue, for many years, but especially so in the last 2-3 years, where the rising cost is not matched with the rising income. And a lot of people have experienced struggles in making ends meet or maintaining lifestyle. A lot of people have to degrade lifestyle to make ends meet. And a lot of people have incurred debt in order not to degrade lifestyle to make ends meet. And a lot of people who are feeling squeezed are looking to see changes. And PH really needs to deliver on this. We really need to make life a little easier for people, be it by managing both a continuous increase in income for everyone. There are many ways to do that, as well as to manage costs. Even if costs continues to go up slightly, it has to be matched by an even better increase in income for people. So in the end of the day, in 5 years' time, you look back and say that my life has gotten a little better, a little easier in the last 5 years. And that's a tall order on us. And that's something that we have to get started really quick, and that's something we need to be focused on for the next 5 years to make sure we deliver. And I think, be it state or federal government, everyone is looking at these things, and everyone's going to judge us by basically these two big things.
Yeah. The difference between the state and federal almost doesn't matter.
I think for most people it does not matter. I mean, because in the end of the day, it's your quality of life. And I think a lot of people, the vast majority of people, voted the same way for both federal and state. If you're a BN supporter, you voted BN both ways. And if you're a PAS supporter, you voted PAS both ways. And you're a Harapan supporter, you voted Harapan both ways. I think very few people made the distinction between the federal government and state government and judged the parties separately on both platforms. Because life is like that. It's all packaged. You just live one life. You don't live two separate lives, a federal life and a state life. You just live one life, and you're looking at who can help make life just a little better, a little easier. So we've got a work cut out for us. We've got lots of plans. We've got a 200-page manifesto. I mean, nearly 200-page manifesto. It's still available online. You can just like Google Buku Harapan, download it and take a skim through it. I know there are many people who expect a lot more that's not yet in the book to be implemented, and I don't discount the possibility of us adopting other policies down the road. It's bound to happen, but I think the priority is to get those promises that we've already pledged in the manifesto moving, because that's what is something we have to deliver in the next 5 years.
Best of luck to you, and you have your
thank
plates
you very for, much,
and we hope to have a continued dialogue throughout the years.
Of course.
You've been listening to Rajesh Vishakaran, the State Assemblyman for Bukit Gasing. Thank you for listening. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.